We'll be looking at the first 12 verses of this chapter this morning. So you can see this in one way, it's important to how you look at Scripture and study the Bible. It's not a section of one specific purpose that the writer of that book tried to accomplish. There are different books in the Bible first, different things. And the first thing is not trying to teach us that. Jesus arrives to a group of lost people who are trying to become to a relationship with God. And he's trying to people who are professing Christians. They had at one point made some a verbal confession that they would choose to cross for this hunger. And what Jesus is doing now is that he left his family. But because of his persecution, he now arrives to scatter Christians, trying to make sure that they're not mere professors. He says, you believe, you close believe, but how do you know if you really believe? And Jesus rises to give an answer to that. You can remember a couple of weeks ago, in the first chapter of the conversation Jesus said, Jesus will summarize and say, hey, let's look at it. He says, it's more than the truth of the nation. It's not brought on the tongue, but the truth of the person's religion is worked. Religion is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, and the Savior. It's often the widow of the nation, and it keeps oneself unsettled from the world. So, in Jesus' mind, if you need to exercise the true effect of the Lord Jesus, which that's what happens. Trust me, what Jesus has said. If you've written down that, then there are two areas of your life without any ghosts or messages. Verse 6. You ought to be able to bridle your tongue. If you keep doing that, you're going to have your relationship works, as Jesus said. In the most definitive forms, real religion, pure religion, acceptable religion before God, has concern for those who are less fortunate than us, and it keeps oneself constantly related. Concerned about holy. If you've been with us too often, you will know that we talked about the orphan widow when we looked at the first verses of chapter 2 that deal with the partiality. Not treating someone with more favor because they are rich, and you're treating someone less because they're poor. That's not exercising general wealth. And of course, this morning we deal with the issue of bribing our. So I want to clear up first. We're not saved by brawling our tongue. We're not saved by being the orphan's widow. We're not saved by living a holy life. Salvation is by grace. It is God that expresses himself by faith, which is trust in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. He died on the cross because we're sinners. We couldn't help ourselves. We couldn't fix our dilemma. Jesus died in my place. That God would take my sin and just separate me from it. And it went to a tomb in the very, and he raised on the third day to declare that he has the power to do eternal life to everyone who believes. That's how it works. So when we talk about controlling our tongue, when we tell our tongue that how to say it, that's not what we're doing. What we're trying to say is how to know that you can now, you are now able. It's your fault, not the root of our passions. Let's realize our Christian story. Just stand in grace, beginning verse 1. Now, many of you can become teachers of my ways. For you know that what you teach will be judged with great strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and even one does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to drive his whole body. If we put this into the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at this little problem. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by very small rudder wherever the will of the power goes. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is enabled by such small things. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is among believers saying the whole body, circumcised and firm as you are, and formed by God. For every kind of beast and bird, or reptile and sea creature, been made by the past. But no human being can see God. Neither was it full of days and forms, which we bless our Lord and Father, in which we curse people who remain in the light of the day. From the same mouth come blessing and curse. My brother, these things ought not to be so. The spring pour forth from the same open boat for us in cold water. Did you see my brother's bedfellows, or a bread bound for new years? Neither can a salt pond yield
water.
So we come to you this morning, the little people inside of the church. And Father, when we gather to read your word this morning, we desire you to be. Lord, Father, I desire to come to you, my vision, or give to you this message. But Father, to further understand what God is in us. What's your word for us this morning concerning our Father? So I pray that you would teach us, that Father, you would at this moment begin to stir up our hearts to yearn for your word, that we would reach our lips as though the tongue desires to come. That would be our direction to teach you this morning from your word, because Father, your word is far greater. But I pray that you would help those who are here this morning who are not in your kingdom. Lord, I pray that if you accept the tongue, they will learn what their tongue tells them about themselves. Not a wonderful message, but Lord, would help us see that they are in strong need. That if we turn to cross and receive and obtain a promise that only things can be. But I pray your spirit would be mighty to work and demonstrate your power in a way that we can only do because at the hand of God has used your word to be church. But I hope you see your calls.
Amen.
I have to be thinking of the past and what it's like because he's telling the story of a young man in the church in the end. This lady of Ephesus is concerned about her gossip, and so she approached the pastor and said, "My tongue is definitely in trouble." And the pastor said, "Well, what do you want to do about it?" She said, "Well, I think I'm going to come and lay on y'all." The pastor realized that he was doing this multiple times. He said, "Man, there's no altar there." And this is what Jesus is revealing to us. Many of us probably understand this already. You're aware, and all of us have been on the receiving end of someone's tongue. And unfortunately, if we're all honest, we have been on the receiving end of a tongue being used wrong. So the question becomes, how do we begin to control this tongue? How do we begin? Teaching you to know law, he's going to be held in great respect. And so the tongue is more trouble than any other body part. You are not just working in the same way. You're in this role, so
it's because many, in fact, listen and do that. They are always afraid.
turn the tongue of God, because the tongue of God, it glitters, it makes noise, and both together a lot of damage. Because it is wrong. Proverbs 15, verse 2 says, hope that a worthless man is lost in evil. It is a lost fortune. is more on the Sabbath than the whole. And this song that is used as a blazing fire, that is both an expression to all things of witness, which results in the same of the whole body, this is next to all negative things in our important life. It's so destructive. It all comes from the one who is continually using his tongue to speak lies, to deception, and to destroy. That's what Satan is coming to. Destroy and steal and corrupt. And when our tongue is not controlled, it will be a tool that makes you a person to accomplish the very things he is going on. why they call you the Christ in the Old Testament. You know who I call? Therefore, you can hold all of them. You remember I said that the problem is each other. The problem is used for good because it's used for evil. And you know what determines whether it's used for God in terms of who that person is? Their heart. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus gives this reference when he talks about what is that corrupts people, what is it that defiles people. In verse 3, in Mark chapter 7, Jesus says this. He says that from power of person is what defiles. Pour from within us, out of the heart of the mouth, out of your own soul, your evil thoughts, sex, move around, self, murder, adultery, covetousness, wickedness, immorality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within us. That's the problem. The reason you and I are used our tongues in a wrong way is because there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with who we are. We're separated from God. If you only want to turn the tongue, then I should do it. I need new heart. Jesus was that wicked and born of sin. And when the new heart is given to you, then our tongue is the neutral muscle for the new to get new for God. The word of God will be changed in peace. And we can have peace through our tongue because our tongue is telling us something that you can't control your life. You can't make your tongue be neutral. Even though it's foolish, we're going to let you know. What you need is to have a new heart. You need to become a new person. You need to have a new heart. The old darkness. Then your tongue will then be deployed in the way that is honorable to the Lord. So when James says that no human being is in the tongue of Christ, God says, and God does name the tongue with the presence of Christ. That's what he says. That's what he says. If you're changing your heart, it's evidence that you have a new heart. We're a new creature. Well, part of the part of this new creature is that evidence not only how you should be listening, the way of your organs, it's not only known in how you keep on going outside from the world, but it's known in that which has mastery over our tongue. No unbeliever to do this. But someone that thinks God has the power to do the tongue. God
takes
critical
use of this. This is what I have to say.
Because you're told not only because it's ruling your whole being, not only because it's ruling your life, and not only because it refuses to be controlled, but because it's even your heart or your tongue, because it reveals your heart. Your heart. Your tongue is a mirror in your soul. You can use this to a lot of personal confusions.
That is very
we which is the Lord of Alphabet, he called the white wall, wall. And he corrected me for thinking that way to stop her. Who is the need for dollar meaning to use your tongues to be profitable? Preachers do, and to them, of course, to use their tongues in a way that they can use them. That's why she said in verse 2, my brother, these things are not to them. Of course, it's happening, but she didn't get it. So how do we as Christians promise? How do we give the ability, the eyeball to control them? How do we put that ability into practice? Well, basically, by being a teacher to our God, being a teacher to what we want, and beginning to ultimately study the scripture, praise God, being around other Christians, and learning about the use of one's property, finding someone to hold yourself accountable without using your own, and ultimately recognizing who's the Bible. It doesn't come simply by the word by magical dust, and you feel your creature's fault, all of a sudden you can get up and walk on your tongue all day. It's going to come from being a child and holding the ability God's given you. It's not to be a child. The warfare in Galatians chapter 5 of Israel. The desires of the flesh are the truth, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For those opposed each other to keep you from doing the things and those things you want to do. You want to. The Christians come from Washington, but Christians are the one. The Christian does use the tongue from is just like him and just like Paul, they can. He called him Mark, I think he was someone who does. I think he's someone who does stumble and makes way for Jesus. But when that happens, then we're Jesus. We're Jesus. That's all we know of Christians. The non Christian stumbles and makes way for Jesus. But the non Christian is broken. The non Christian is found that the tongue before you wrote your mouth all over. But Jesus said that Jesus come to me and I'll take care of the whole thing. Come to me and I'll take care of the need that separates you from my Father. Come to me and I'll give you the eternal life that only I have achieved by my resurrection. Come to me and I'll teach you righteousness that only I can give to those who stand in the faith. So that you are looking across and seeing him over the people of faith who is willing to forgive all who are full of religion. Whoever believes you are not guilty, but God is eternal. Your tongue reveals your name of faith. Look at me, trust in me, and on the authority of God's word, you shall be. Father, we love you and us. Father, we pray for the Christians here and pray for our strong Lord that you would help us to implore the ministry you've given us by our fathers. And we ask that you would use what the Spirit is to sustain this tongue. That you would use it as a means of encouragement and blessing, both to Jesus to us, both to Jesus and Christ, who knows for our salvation. And Lord, I pray for those of you this morning who don't know you. They may be confessors, they may be prepared to know, they may have some religious experience, but without you, Lord, their heart is not, it's not close to you. Their heart doesn't desire you. It's an honor for themselves to know that your tongue gives you more. Lord, I pray that you would help them to see the experience that try to use the tongue. Lord, you said that it's an invitation. Look at this and fully embrace and accept the salvation that you need to have. Father, I pray you would give eyes to Jesus. I pray you would give ears to hear the gospel call. And Father, most importantly, I pray that you would give a desire and a will to obey you. Father, thank you for your ministry.